traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's Pear.com.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the PAS Report Podcast. This is your host, Nick Giordano, and what's happening in this country is a disgrace. Those in power should be ashamed of themselves. Of course they're not. They never will be. They believe they are actually doing a good job, but we all know the truth because we're feeling the effects. Some are going to say the leadership has failed, but understand that these people are anything but leaders. They have openly turned their backs on the American people. They have shown that they don't care about the problems of ordinary Americans, the problems that we face. They don't care about our grievances. They don't care about our communities. They don't care about this country. They prove that on a daily basis. They no longer even try and hide their disdain for the ordinary American, the people they've sworn to serve. Instead, they say, sit down and shut up. And that they know what's in our best interest. They want you to be obedient and compliant. But what do you think of that? Do you think they really know what's in our best interest? What's in the best interest of our lives, our families, our community, our country? Are we really in a better position today? As social norms, morals, and standards are being thrown out the window, we see this chaos and uncertainty continue to grow. But isn't that exactly what they want? As the chaos and uncertainty grows, they seek to take advantage in their quest for power and control. And it's not just that we're witnessing this here in the United States. It's happening in a lot of developed nations. The sad part is that everything we are witnessing is self-inflicted wounds by a bunch of people who think they're smarter than everyone else, and they're not. In this episode, I'm going to provide a couple of examples of how ordinary Americans are being shafted and that these ordinary Americans are bearing the brunt of the failed policies, policies that are intentionally designed to inflict pain on ordinary Americans. It doesn't matter where you live, whether it's a city area, suburban community, rural America, it doesn't matter what political party you subscribe to, these policies are hurting all Americans. And while many Democrats are in denial, they try and deflect blame everywhere else, they know the truth deep down. They know the truth. I'll describe it all. Before I do, make sure to click the follow button so you never miss an episode. Also, visit the PAS Report website, PASReport.com. Sign up for the newsletter there. And getting to this episode, the elite political class has been ignoring the concerns of ordinary Americans for decades. But over the last several years, something changed dramatically. The swamp of D.C. politics was always evident. It's not like it was a big secret. We saw a major change in our officials over the course of the last few years, and I'm talking about both the elected officials and the appointed officials. The elected officials at least used to pretend to care about the plight of the ordinary American and the forgotten middle class. The unelected bureaucrats, they understood their role within the system. They understood that their ideological position should not be a factor in whatever agency or department they worked for. The media underwent an enormous shift, too. Obviously, the liberal leanings were evident throughout the media landscape for decades, but something changed in the liberal media industrial complex. They no longer lean left. Instead, they transformed into full-blown political activists. When it comes to the corporations, it's no longer about running a company. Now it's about ESG activism, environmental, social, and governance, where these companies have been politically weaponized to push a political agenda. They have been politically weaponized as a means to an end. And all they are doing is hurting the United States. Amazing how they have no problems doing business in China and dealing with a communist regime, but when it comes to America, they'll constantly bash America. They'll push this corporate activism that's destroying our society. When it comes to big tech, it's no longer about providing a platform or a service that everyone has access to. No longer is it a vehicle that gives a voice to the voiceless. It has morphed into a quasi-government entity building out the surveillance state apparatus. They work with their political partners to control narratives. They want to censor and flag those who dissent from the narrative. They now look to socially engineer society through algorithms determining what you see and what you can't see, as they are the ones who will determine what information is available to the public. Even worse than that is they've now realized the power they have to manipulate elections, whether it be Mark Zuckerberg spending nearly $500 million to essentially take over local election operations, or you could just look at the censoring and suppressing of stories that can hurt their preferred political candidates. And it's not like they hide it. I mean, don't forget, Jen Jinai, the head of responsible innovation for Google, stated, quote, "The reason we launched our AI principles is that people were not putting that line in the sand, that they were not saying what's fair and what's equitable. So we're like, well, we're a big company. We're going to say it," end quote. Does anyone ask why Google gets to determine what is fair and equitable? Has anyone asked who made Google the arbiters to decide this? Let's not forget how Jen Jinai stated that Google will prevent the next Trump situation. And you don't have to take my word for it, because it's not me that just makes this stuff up. The left likes to make stuff up. I don't. This is not me putting words in her mouth. This is directly from her mouth. Take a listen.
2020 is certainly on top of mind. Now, my old organization, Trust and Safety, is top of mind. They've been working on it since 2016 to make sure we're ready for 2020. And, like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse, because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with preventing the next Trump situation.
She said this long before the 2020 elections, long before January 6th, and I wonder, why doesn't anyone talk more about what she said in 2018 or 2019? I mean, this is a big deal when you have the most powerful company, or one of the most powerful companies in the United States, that has so much control and influence, saying that they exist to prevent the next Trump situation. So we've witnessed a dramatic shift in how these elites operate, and it's not like they hide it. They're pretty open about it, so I guess I could give them credit for being open about it. I could give them credit for being open about their disdain for ordinary Americans, but we have to ask the question, why the change? What happened in our country and what happened in other countries where we're witnessing this similar sentiment of the elite class versus the ordinary people? And in my opinion, there are four catalysts that led us to this moment. The first was 9/11 and the ensuing war on terrorism. This event allowed governments throughout the world to usurp an enormous amount of power and authority from the people, especially in countries with democratic principles. You have this global cooperation. It's going to be critical in the war on terror. Unfortunately, many people in the free societies blindly and willingly gave up some of their freedoms because they wanted to feel more secure. The second catalyst was the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. As the housing market sector collapsed in our country, it cascaded throughout all sectors of our economy and the international community. The same people who railed against large multinational corporations and corporate interests were now pushing the mantra of being too big to fail. Throughout the world, governments artificially manipulated economies and determined who and what industries would be the winners and which ones would be the losers. Due to the Great Recession, the major banks and the financial sector got even bigger and stronger despite their mismanagement, and this was the second major power grab by governments around the world. If the financial sector is dependent on the government for its survival, it's only natural that the financial sector would become more and more compliant with the governing authority. And what I mean by that is, rather than free market forces driving economies, it would now be government authorities that drive economies, weakening and undermining free market principles. You know, we constantly speak about freedom and liberty here in the United States, but most of you are unaware that the United States, according to the freedom rankings, has been dropping when it comes to freedom and liberty, when it comes to this idea of a free society. The problem is that when governing authorities begin to manipulate economies, they infuse ideology as well. And do you think it's a coincidence that corporations began getting involved in social issues shortly after the Great Recession? Do you think it's a coincidence that in 2006, the United Nations issues a report on ESG rankings and for the first time required an ESG criteria to be incorporated in the financial evaluations of companies? It's not a coincidence that during the Great Recession from 2007 to 2009, ESG ratings began to play a major role in boardrooms and corporate governance reports throughout the world. At the same time, these governments were bailing out these major corporations. Then you factor in all the ideologues graduating from the university indoctrination centers and staffing human resource departments throughout the country and throughout corporations. It's not hard to see how or why our corporations have become politically weaponized. The third catalyst that exists was Brexit and the election of Donald Trump. The Brexit referendum and President Trump's election sent political shockwaves throughout the world, highlighting just how out of touch the ruling class was with ordinary people. Because in 2016, people woke up. The popular demands of the people were being ignored for decades. When industries closed and jobs were shipped overseas, the ruling elite told the people, get over it. Learn to code. They were told, you need to learn a new skill, as if that's a simple thing to do. I mean, when you've been working in the same industry for 20, 30, or 40 years, it's not easy to learn a new skill. Hence the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. In a lot of cases, the ruling class didn't hide their disdain and mock those who had their jobs shift overseas or faced stagnant wages, where there was no real wage growth and costs of everything else were increasing. Costs of goods and services were increasing. So what happens is when the costs of goods and services are increasing, yet your wages are either staying the same or going down, it places enormous stress on the family unit. In fact, financial problems are one of the top reasons for divorce. Most of the time, it places even before infidelity. And economics wasn't the only thing that created this backlash towards the ruling elite and led to Brexit and the election of President Trump. Unfettered immigration also. You could easily make the argument that the reason President Trump was so successful in his campaign is because he was essentially the only candidate talking about immigration and putting the idea of America first, front and center. See, it's not that Americans are against immigration. Most Americans have no problems with legal immigration. What they do have a problem with is when politicians put immigrants ahead of the people that these politicians swore to serve. As people's lives have grown more difficult, people expect their officials to respond to their needs before the needs of others. As people began to feel slighted by their governments, they spoke up through the power of the polls. President Trump's America First message resonated with those who have long been ignored by the ruling class. And this sent the ruling class into a panic. It was clear that they were losing their grip on power. And rather than understand why people would support someone like President Trump, you know, that's the main thing. They hate this guy so much that you would think, let me understand why the people supported him, and therefore we could prevent that from happening again. Instead of doing that, no. That's too difficult to do. We can't go outside our little bubble. We can't go outside the bubbles of New York City and Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. Instead, it was the defining moment where the establishment would openly show their hostility towards the American people. It was also the moment where the establishment lost all its faith in believing that ordinary Americans and people would listen to them and do what the establishment wanted. It validated their preconceived biases of the ruling class and their belief that ordinary Americans are generally dumb and unsophisticated people. To them, Ordinary people could no longer be trusted, and all their gains, the ruling class gains that they made over the course of the last 20 years, it hit its setback with the election of President Trump. But then the coronavirus pandemic came in, and that served as the fourth catalyst. This crisis would allow the arrogant ruling class to further empower governments around the world, destroying a couple of hundred years of democratic norms and principles. The American political philosophy, our ideals and values, including the concepts of freedom and God-given liberties, would be turned on its head. It would be challenged to its core. Governments would usurp an enormous amount of authority in the name of saving lives. And anyone who dared to defy the government's decrees would only further reinforce the ruling class's stereotypes of the ordinary people, the unsophisticated people. Oh, they won't wear masks. They're complaining about wearing masks. Even though masks do nothing, they're not obeying and complying. These same people would see the coronavirus as the single greatest vehicle to usher in a new normal. And people were all too willing to be obedient and compliant. There was so little pushback when it came to the coronavirus and the decrees. It went better than the elites could have ever imagined. As they routinely violated their own decrees, the sheep would continue to listen to the frauds and do what they were told. The uncertainty of a post-coronavirus world also played into this, and we're still seeing it play out here in America and on the world stage. They created a system where governments have usurped an enormous amount of power and control within their societies, much more power than ever before, and these same governments still have not returned that power back to the people. They have become so ideological that they have expanded their control in public health matters to all aspects of our lives. And they want to label everything a public health matter now because they saw how it worked. As I always warn, there's too many people who are willing to give up a lot for safety and security, even if this idea of safety and security is simply an illusion, which that's exactly what it is. Understand that everything that's being done is designed to usher in a new way of life, rebuilding societies where freedom and liberties are going to vanish. Sure, they'll still say, you're free, but you can only exercise those freedoms that we, the ruling class, dictate. Because essential liberties are now a threat to democracy, apparently. Things like freedom of speech, things like the Second Amendment. They don't hide it. Just listen to Brian Deese, who is the Biden administration's White House director of the National Economic Council. Take a listen.
Or to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years, this is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
Wait, what? What did you just say?
This is about the future of the liberal world order.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't just say that. We need to hear that one more time, just to make sure I'm getting it right.
This is about the future of the liberal world order.
The liberal world order. The liberal world order.
He did say it. He said it. He said it out loud. He said the taboo words, liberal world order. See, they don't care about high gas prices. They don't care about the high cost of food. They don't care about the economic struggles of ordinary Americans. What they care about is their agenda. You could call it the liberal world order, the new world order, the great reset. You could call it whatever you want, but it's all the same agenda. And as I said, it's not just here that we're seeing this. You look at Trudeau in Canada, you see the same types of things, even going further. Look at what's currently going on with the farmers in the Netherlands. And some of you may not have heard about that, but the government in the Netherlands passed some restrictive laws regarding the future of farming. The government has unveiled a plan to reduce certain types of fertilizers/nitrogen emissions. They want to reduce the number of cattle on properties by 2030. Many of the farmers are saying that this will destroy their livelihoods. It's going to put them out of business. And guess what? When it comes to the elite ruling class that believes it knows better than anyone else, how many within the elite ruling circles have a farming background, have actually engaged in one day of farming? How many of them have any real understanding of farming and the logistics behind the food supply chain? I mean, here you have a bunch of arrogant, pompous bureaucrats telling farmers they either have to cut their productivity or face getting shut down. And while these policies don't go into full effect until 2030, I find it really bizarre that we are even having this conversation about reducing farmer productivity, especially considering the food supply issues the world already faces, the price increases that ordinary people are already having to absorb. It's insane. And then you have Bill Gates buying farmlands throughout the United States. I think he's either the first or the second largest farm owner in the United States. What the hell is going on? It's the same thing with oil and gas. They don't care that you're paying more. Shut up. Stop complaining. Go buy an electric vehicle that you can't afford and you don't want. See, if they cared about ordinary Americans, they would at least show a bit of empathy. They would reverse these insane policies. They constantly claim that they don't have the power to bring down prices, but that's a lie. Just think back to 2014 when Russia took Crimea, and the United States and Saudi Arabia worked together to crash the oil market, to bring down prices, to hurt Vladimir Putin's economy. They could push policies that will increase future supplies, bringing down the cost today. I love when the left says that if we drilled more, those supplies wouldn't lower prices because they wouldn't be on the market for years. Again, it's a lie. It shows they know nothing about markets. The oil market is a speculative one that works on future supply and demand, not today's supply and demand. The more oil they believe will be hitting the markets in the future, the more the price will go down today. If we expand our capabilities, including refining capacity, it will have an immediate impact. Unfortunately, the liberal world order is beholden to the environmental extremists, and guess who's getting rich off of it? You have these environmental companies raking in millions of dollars, billions of dollars in federal subsidies. You have all the universities and the environmental groups receiving billions in government grants to conduct studies on the environment to show climate change. We all know the results of these studies before the studies are even done because it's predetermined. Let's be honest. Do you think any scientist that dissents from the narrative is ever going to qualify from one of these government grants when it comes to the environment? And the answer is absolutely not, because it's all rigged. Then you have those who qualify for the government tax credits if they purchase an electric vehicle. Here's the thing. Who do you think are the people buying these electric vehicles? Do you really believe that it's the family of four living off $60,000 a year? Of course not. They can't afford an electric vehicle. They'll never be able to afford an electric vehicle. The people buying these vehicles are the upper middle class that don't need any damn tax credits. It's insanity. It's disgusting. And the price of gas is just one simple example of how these people have turned their backs on ordinary Americans. Not for nothing, they keep on blaming Vladimir Putin and Russia for the high gas prices. You know what would really destroy Russia's economy? If you crashed the gas prices, that would destroy Russia's economy. That would hurt Putin more than anything that's been done so far. Consider that 50% of Russia's economy relies on oil and natural gas. If you cut the price in half, let's say you cut it by 3/4, that means Russia's going to lose, what, 25, 30, 40% of their economy? No country could sustain that. But again, they don't care, because the objective isn't to lower gas prices. The objective is to force you to artificially manipulate you and our economy and force you into these electric vehicles that you can't afford, that they haven't even thought through the policies. I mean, imagine, let's just say everyone that lives in a urban area gets an electric vehicle. You have an apartment complex with, I don't know, houses maybe 1,000 people. Maybe there's 600 people that own vehicles. Where are you going to have 600 charging stations? Where are you going to do that? See, they don't even think their own policies through. And if they say, well, if you get an electric vehicle and the price of your electric bill goes up, because it is going to go up significantly, well, then just put solar on your home. So it doesn't just end with the electric vehicle. Now they want you to lay out another $70,000 to get solar panels on your home. This is a perfect example that shows that they don't really have any regard for the ordinary American. Then we could move on to another issue. Look at violent crime. Violent crime has surged, and we are seeing double-digit increases from last year. Why is this happening? It's because the people in charge don't care. That's all. It's simple. They don't care about ordinary Americans who are the victims of the criminal elements plaguing our neighborhoods. Because guess what? It's not plaguing their neighborhoods. That's why. See, those in charge, they think they're so smart. They're so much smarter than the ordinary Americans. They think that it's up to them to institute what they deem as equity. And since they view the criminal justice system as an inherently racist institution, it's up to these noble holy warriors to institute what they deem equity. It's why we've seen the failure of bail reform. It's why criminals are simply being released back into communities, even though they continually victimize the people within these communities. That the people within these communities, they don't want the criminal elements there. They want to feel safe in their communities. These fools claim they want to stop gun violence, yet they keep dropping gun charges on violent criminals. Why is that? If they cared about gun violence, wouldn't it make sense to prosecute those gun crimes rather than drop the charges? But that's what they're doing, and it shows you what the real intent is. Take New York, for instance. They know that the only way to control the criminal is to put him or her behind bars. But the real intent isn't to control the criminal. It's to control you. If you want to get a firearm license in New York State now, you have to turn over your social media information to them. Now, why would they want this information? And what do they intend to do with it? They are going to use this information as a metric to approve firearm licenses. So shouldn't they have to put out like what the criteria is going to be when they look at your social media, your private personal social media posts? I routinely criticize government. I criticize government policies. Are they now going to label me as expressing anti-government or anti-authority sentiment? And would this be a reason to deny my firearm application? Imagine this. I can have a top secret security clearance. I've passed multiple background investigations to continue to have my top secret security clearance, but I won't be able to get a firearm license because I dared to criticize the unelected Empress Hochul. I dared to criticize the government, both the elected officials and the bureaucrats. But more to the point, do you think those engaged in the violence we're seeing are purchasing their firearms legally? Do you think they are going to go through this application process, that they're going to have to turn over their social media posts? So the government would rather target law-abiding Americans than the criminal elements that exist. And that's why they're dropping the charges on violent criminal offenders. If they cared about ordinary Americans, they would prosecute violent criminals, especially those possessing illegal black market firearms. They would prosecute those who continue to victimize innocent, law-abiding people and in some of the worst areas. If you don't believe that this is going on, if you don't believe me, just listen to what's happening with Jose Alba. Mr. Alba is a clerk at a bodega in New York City. Here is someone with no known criminal history. By all accounts, was a very productive member of society. He went to work daily, followed the rules, became a citizen, took care of his family. He's the one that did everything right. He's the type of person that we want here in the United States. A woman comes into his bodega, buys a bag of chips for her kid, uses an EBT card, but the problem is the EBT card isn't working because the card has no more money on it, no more government money on it. And Mr. Alba ran the card several times. The lady was arguing with Mr. Alba that there's money on the card, it should go through, instead of calling New York State or New York City or whatever. Instead of doing that, she wanted to argue as if it was Mr. Alba's fault. And she started knocking things off the counter, and she threatened him after he took the bag of chips away from the girl because she couldn't pay for it. 10 minutes later, her boyfriend, Simon, storms into the place, starts pushing around Mr. Alba. Mr. Alba tried showing the guy the receipt to explain, hey, there's no money on the card. I can't do anything about that. But he didn't care. He grabbed Alba, was slamming him into the wall. So you have Mr. Alba doing his job, and he gets violently assaulted by a career ex-con. Mr. Alba then grabs a knife, stabs Simon 5 times, ultimately killing him. Clearly, it was clearly self-defense. Shockingly, the New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg, a pathetic human being, decided to charge Mr. Alba with second-degree murder. This is a clear case of self-defense. Here you have an ex-con who was arrested 8 times for things like assault, domestic violence, and burglary. The kicker is he was on parole after being released from prison for attacking a police officer. Now, I don't advocate the death of anyone, but let's face it, this is a guy who was not a productive member of society. He was a blight on society. And yet he is being treated as the victim, whereas Mr. Alba, who has been a model citizen throughout his life, was arrested, sent to Rikers Island Correctional Facility. It's a horrible, filthy place. And this is a clear example that epitomizes exactly what I am talking about. You have officials like D.A. Bragg taking the side of a career criminal as opposed to the ordinary American defending himself. Completely ridiculous. So ridiculous that even Mayor Adams called this incident and called for the charges to be dropped. Now, I do suspect that the charges will ultimately be thrown out. Hopefully, by the time this podcast airs, the charges are thrown out. But Mr. Alba should have never been arrested in the first place. He is a contributing member to society, someone that followed the rules, yet he's the one being treated as a common criminal. It's insane. Then we have the situation with the Border Patrol agents. Remember when pictures emerged of Border Patrol agents on horseback and the administration, the Democrats, and the media, they went apoplectic. They used fiery rhetoric, making comparisons of border enforcement akin to slavery completely ridiculous. They lied, stated that Border Patrol agents were whipping the migrants. They didn't hold back with their assumptions, even though many of them actually knew the truth. They knew the agents didn't whip anyone. And they subscribed the worst motives to these Border Patrol agents. They basically called for their crucifixion, even before an investigation had been conducted. And in case you've forgotten, take a listen to this.
There is more outrage tonight after disturbing images showed Border Patrol agents on horseback swinging what appeared to be horse reins.
The images we saw from Del Rio are painful to watch.
It's painful, disgusted, I mean outraged.
Outrage over these images showing desperate migrants.
Really shocking footage that obviously horrified.
Those searing images linger on.
They certainly do.
There needs to be consequence and accountability. It also evoked images of some of the worst moments of our history where that kind of behavior has been used against the indigenous people of our country, has been used against African Americans during times of slavery.
Us, in terms of what they suggest and what they conjure up, in terms of not only our nation's history, but unfortunately the fact that that page of history has not been turned entirely.
But it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, there's an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences. It's an embarrassment, but it's beyond an embarrassment.
So you have all these jackals, all these idiots that are slamming these Border Patrol agents. But the investigation has wrapped up. And what did the findings show? Well, it turns out that the investigation found what we all already knew, that the Border Patrol agents didn't whip any of the illegal immigrants, that they were vindicated. Take a listen.
OPR investigators determined that the agents involved in the Del Rio activity were not carrying whips. After a careful review and analysis of videos, photos, and eyewitness accounts, this included an interview with a photographer on the scene and other members of the media, OPR found no evidence Border Patrol agents involved in this incident struck any person with their reins intentionally or otherwise.
In a just world, the media, the Democrats, and the president, they should be groveling at the feet of these agents, apologizing for slandering them and the Border Patrol as an institution. They knowingly push lies and try to destroy these agents' reputations. In a just world, the agents would be receiving an apology. And in a just world, these agents would sue the hell out of the media, out of the president, the vice president, the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. See, you can't sue members of Congress because they have congressional immunity. But I don't see anything about immunity for a president, for the vice president, for the Secretary of Homeland Security. So I really hope these Border Patrol agents sue, because we aren't living in a just world. Instead, we are living through a period where the Border Patrol agents are the problem, and the administration continues to encourage illegal immigration. It's completely backward. Those entering the country illegally aren't being penalized, yet this administration is still disciplining the agents for doing their job. So even though I just played the clip that they're vindicated, they didn't whip anyone, they didn't abuse anyone, take a listen to why they're being disciplined.
As a result of these findings, the board proposed specific disciplinary actions for four of the CBP personnel involved. We're not going to be discussing specifics of the disciplinary proposals today. One agent acted in an unprofessional manner by yelling denigrating and offensive comments regarding a migrant's national origin and gender. This same agent acted in an unsafe manner by forcing his horse to narrowly maneuver around a small child on a slanted concrete ramp. Several mounted agents used force or the threat of force to drive migrants back into the Rio Grande River.
What the hell is that? They're being punished for riding a horse too close to a child and for disparaging remarks? I mean, the area we're talking about is rough terrain, so there's not much room to maneuver around there. They couldn't really avoid going near the child with the horse. And what were the remarks? What did the agent say that was so disparaging? According to sources, he said, quote, "Hey, you use your women. This is why your country is sh-. You use your women for this," end quote. How dare our Border Patrol agents, who are completely overwhelmed, lack resources, certainly lack any type of support from top leadership, how dare they call a country sh-? How dare they told the men to stop using their women and children as shields to sneak into this country? How dare they? Not for nothing, but when it comes to what the border agent said...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
This is simply another example of how the political elite, the elite political class, continues to throw ordinary Americans under the bus, and for what? To usher in their liberal world order where borders are non-existent and anyone who wants can migrate to the United States illegally as long as they aren't migrating to the ruling class's neighborhoods. That's what it's all about. Let's just be honest about this whole thing. The ruling elite doesn't care about the people, and most never have. It's not a Democrat thing or a Republican thing. It's both. The difference is that the elite now are open about it, and they are pushing an agenda that intentionally hurts ordinary Americans. And when you don't listen to the people within your society, when you don't listen to the ordinary folks and their grievances, this is when problems really begin to metastasize within society. It's clear these people do not care about the high cost of everything. They don't care about the open borders. They don't care about treating law-abiding citizens as criminals. This is the path that they've knowingly and willingly chosen. Let's face it. Even if you're a Democrat and you're listening to this podcast, which you're making a good choice by listening to this podcast, so that I got to tell you, you may not agree with me on the issues, but you certainly can't argue that you're being impacted by this agenda and your quality of life has certainly decreased under this agenda. You can't argue that. There are too many who live in denial. They try to blame all the challenges we face on everything and anyone, except where the blame actually belongs. And the blame belongs to the arrogant ruling class that believes they are smarter because they went to college. They have PhDs. They attended the Ivy League schools. But the truth of the matter is that just because they may have gone to the finest schools, just because they have PhDs, it doesn't necessarily make them smart. That's the difference. I find that many of these people lack the very basics of common sense. They operate and live in a world of theory as opposed to reality. I don't pretend to be smart. I don't pretend to know everything. But I do have a pretty good grasp on the issues. I am sharp when it comes to common sense. I am someone who lives in reality. And common sense is far more important to me than most of the stuff you could learn in the book. Anyone could teach themselves. But you can't teach yourself common sense. That's difficult. It's why we all need to find our voice and speak out. We need to go to the polls, elect those who truly understand the meaning of public service, elect those who have a regard for ordinary Americans and will remember who they serve. It's why we need to clean out the bureaucracy, shut down some of the departments and agencies, get rid of the ideologues, restore the government to its proper role. Now, I hope you found the content of this episode informative. It's why you got to share it with family, friends, on your social media. Also, give the PAS Report a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Take 30 seconds to write a review. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'll be back on Monday with another great episode of the PAS Report podcast.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup podcast.
Have a good one.
Bye. Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast, so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PASReport.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.